David Teague is the coach of the Blues, and it's whenever we get an opportunity, we're always going to speak to an AFL coach, and that opportunity presents itself. Teague, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Gary. Good morning, Tim.
Great to talk to you. 11th on the ladder last year, the 7-10 record. There's a buzz about Carlton at the moment. Are you sensing that?
Yeah, I am, and I think our supporters, they love football and they've craved it, and last year they really got behind us from a membership point of view, and the loyalty they showed by sticking on board, and already our numbers are great, and I think they see a bright future in the footy club, and if they saw the way the players are training and preparing at the moment, that'd give them a lot of confidence.
Is it a justified buzz? What is it that in 6, 8, 10 weeks we're going to sit down here and go, gee, I tell you what, all the jungle drums that were beating pre-season about Carlton, they were right?
Oh, I think they saw the way the guys competed last year, and we didn't get the wins. We probably got a little bit frustrated by the end of the year because I think we're in every single game that we played, and even from a quarters one point of view, we looked quite good, but we didn't get the results, and that's just a sign of where we're at. We've got to get better, and we understand that, and we've had to work hard, and I think that's what the players have done. They came back in great condition, and the way they've applied themselves, their desire to learn and get better is something that gives me confidence that we're prepared well for this season.
Hey, David, tomorrow you tackle St Kilda, tomorrow night at Marvel Stadium. You only play this one game before the season proper. Is this for you and a coaching staff and the team, is this a full dress rehearsal tomorrow night?
Yeah, it is. The main area we want to, obviously you want to work on your football systems and the way you play. It's also a conditioning. We need to get the game time into our players. So we'll start with a 22 that will hopefully get through the majority of the game, just so that they're conditioned for round one. And then we also have a game on the Friday against St Kilda's VFL squad to condition the rest of our group. So we're keen. Are we prepping for this game to be at our best? Probably not. We're looking at the season from round one towards the end of the year and the finals. But we also want to make sure that we're getting better and we're learning, and we'll get some great opportunities against St Kilda.
As you look at your team, which part of the game that you're currently playing are you happiest with? Is it your midfield's most settled, your back line's most settled, or your forward line's most settled?
In terms of games played together, the back line are probably the ones that have been there the longest, and we've probably added Adam Sard into that group, but the rest of the guys have played a fair bit of footy together. One of our growths, when we looked at the end of last year, we probably got a bit frustrated with our ball use going inside 50. We got it in there, but we didn't finish our work as well as we could have. And that's probably the area from a chemistry point of view of playing games together. We haven't had that opportunity. So that excites us, but we also understand there's a little bit of our D50 exit ball use as well that hurt us on the scoreboard again. So we've got lots of areas to improve on, and that's what we've been spending our time doing over the summer.
Paddy Cripps looks great in what I watched him perform at the weekend, Friday I think it was, against Essendon. And we've already spoken to him this year, and he talked about the fact that he went into last season too light, got pushed around, he's put some beef back on, some strength back on. How do clubs get that wrong? How did he get that wrong in terms of taking the weight off and then realising, hang on a minute, this is not necessarily beneficial for me as a player?
Yeah, well, I suppose it's learning and it's curiosity. And Paddy, along with the club, we tried something. We probably looked at adding a little bit to his run, but particularly how he felt. He felt like he lost his number one strength, and we know he's as good as anyone in the clearance. And I encourage our players to keep learning, and that's how you get better, by being curious. And last year we tried something with Paddy, and in the end we found out it didn't work. And we hope this year that adding a little bit more size on and getting back into the longer quarters where there'll be hopefully more stoppages will really play to Patrick's strength.
So, Teague, you said you were in every game last year, and that would be right. And in a lot of those games, you gave up lots of goals in a hurry. And at times you're looking on and you're going, what have you put in place to try and stop this run of 4, 5, 6 goals against you? What if that happens tomorrow night? What can Carlton supporters, not have to sit there and go, oh, here we go again? What will they see?
Yeah, it was a great learning for us. We implemented something halfway through the season. We just more of a focus on a couple of areas of our game. And those run-ons changed. We went from not getting inside 50s and teams were getting centre clearances and scoring quickly. And we sort of changed the game and we started getting inside 50, but we weren't scoring ourselves. So we've had to grow it. I think what you'll see is a group of players that are starting to... We got plenty of opportunities to experience it last year. We went through it together, and even the opportunities for close games. We had 8 games under 10 points and we won 5 of those games. So I think what you'll see is it won't be one person, it won't be one thing that jumps up. It'll be the collective of the group that have experienced it and just staying to the game plan for longer and keeping the focus in the right areas.
So nothing specific in terms of slowing it down, numbers behind or anything of that nature. It'll be just faith in a game plan?
Oh, look, there'll be some little adjustments at times, but it depends on the game. Last year, we put a number behind the ball, but if the opposition are getting uncontested marks, sometimes that actually generates speed into the ball. And so you've got to play the game in sense. But no, you definitely want to be able to control the ball. You want to be able to mark the ball and just keep the ball off the opposition for a little while. And if that's what the game's saying, then we'll go to that. And we've trained that over the preseason, but we've also... We also scored quickly last year, so we don't want to lose our ability to score quickly because as much as we had run-ons against, we also had a lot of run-ons for.
Talking to Blues coach David Teague, you recruited Zach Williams as a midfielder. Is he showing you all the things as a midfielder that you expected of him, David?
Yeah, he is. He's also been quite dangerous down in our front half as well. He keeps hitting the scoreboard with any of our match play type training and in the game. So, he's very strong. His tackling around the contest has really stood out. His ability to make decisions under pressure is something that you can see he's played in big games and played in some games where there's been some serious heat. And I think a lot of our players are understanding. He stays calm in those moments and finds someone to give the ball to. So, he's been a great acquisition for us.
Tell us about Paddy Dow. It looks like he's going to deliver on his potential this season, obviously an early draft pick. Have you noticed that any difference, any changes in the way that he's prepared himself over the summer months? Or is it just sometimes it just comes together a little bit slower for some players than other players?
Yeah, I felt he had a really good preseason last year as well. So I think it's a cumulative load of a couple of years. Last year, he just had some niggles, had some injuries, and he just didn't get out on the park as much as we would have loved. And this year, he's had a great preseason. What he did do, and we mentioned this to our players, he went away and he worked on some areas and he really committed to them. He had conviction in his commitment. And sometimes when you do that, you go backwards for a little bit. But right now, we're seeing him come out the other side. His craft around stoppages, his decision-making with the ball in traffic is two of the areas that I know he's worked hard on, and we're starting to see that. And even just his chemistry with the other guys. We've added Jack Martin, David Cunningham, spent a bit more time through there. Talk about Zach Williams, Will Setterfield. There's starting to be quite a few guys going through our midfield at the moment, and just him understanding how each player works, I think is something he's really grown.
We'll get through as many of these as we can. We know we've only got limited time. We've got thousands of messages coming through. Why hasn't Mitch McGovern been the player? Yeah, injuries given, but why hasn't he been able to fulfil his potential?
Yeah, probably he hasn't been able to get out there as much as we would have liked. I know his first year at the club, he had a really interrupted pre-season. We probably threw him out there too early. But I think you'll find when we get a bit of chemistry and cohesion with our ball use going forward and our forward structure, Cameron Bruce has done an outstanding job over the pre-season with our forwards, understanding each other's strengths. We also were the 18th team for kicking it to a one-on-one contest last year and maybe even the year before that. So we've got to get the ball in there quicker and allow particularly our tall forwards an opportunity one-on-one against their opponents before teams can get their numbers back. So there's a few system things. Mitch has also, he's had a great pre-season, so we're really looking forward to him to making the most of the work he's done.
Has the penny been slow to drop for him? Has he always worked hard enough?
No, he's worked hard. So the injuries have probably been the ones that have been a challenge, but look, like every player, they've got growth areas and he's got areas that he wants to get better at. And it's probably as much just relaxing and playing footy. He's at his best when he just plays. And there's probably been a lot of talk about him where when he came from Adelaide, he was probably the fifth or sixth forward in that team. And he came to Carlton as the number one forward and probably just handling that expectation. And now he's going to share the load with Harry and Levi Casbold, and when Charlie gets back up and going and being part of a system, I think that's when he plays his best, when he's part of a really good system.
there's always pressure on coaches, and Carlton is one of those football clubs where it's always a conversation about where the club's going to finish and how slowly the build is and that type of thing. And I know you've probably been aware, Robert Walls in the last 24 hours said that if Carlton don't make the finals, that probably they'll have to cast a net and have a look what's about in terms of a coach. Does that infiltrate your thinking in any way? How can you block something like that out, or does it worry you in any way?
He was down at the club a couple of years. I learned a lot off him, so I hope he taught me the right stuff. No, not really. Like, you can't control, and we understand. We've got passionate supporters, and we know that we haven't delivered over the last 25 years, and our club in the past have been used to success, but the game's changed. Equalisation's come in, and it's hard to win premierships now, and that's where we've got to get back to. But we feel we're building a club that's going to have sustained success, and we're really happy where we're at now. And right now, what I can control is having a really strong culture at the football club and really good people. And I feel we've got great people at a footy club. The way the players are going about their craft and their training intensity and work ethic gives me a lot of confidence that we're in the right direction, and we can't wait. We love the passion of our supporters. We can't wait to play in front of them again. And we know right now, and a lot of their minds go to the stage, or here we go again, or it hasn't happened, but we feel it's not far away from going, yeah, let's go. We're about to go again, rather than going the other way.
Could you give us a Charlie Curnow update as well, David?
Yeah, look, Charlie's, you won't see Charlie in the first half of the season. He's tracking well. His knee looks really good, but we're going to think bigger picture with Charlie, and we want to get him right. He wants to be out there. He's so infectious as a person. We'd love to have him out there, but we care about Charlie as well, and we want a long career out of him, and we still think we can achieve that by looking after him. So we'll take it slowly. I can't give you an exact time frame. It depends how he progresses, but we definitely won't be rushing him.
So it's still the knee, and the very nature of it, the things that you're... What is the rehab? What are you rehabbing right now on it?
Yeah, well, it was probably a real deloading. So after his last operation, it's just going to be a really slow build. So it's to do with his kneecap, the patella. That's the area of concern. So the bone right now is strong, and now it's about really building the muscles around it, giving it the stability around it. And he's got some really good people. They've searched across the country, across the world, in terms of the best information right now. And I think he's confident. I think the club are confident that it's tracking really nicely. And like I said, that the challenge for us is not get too excited, because we love Charlie as a person and as a player. And sometimes you just want to do what he wants because he's so infectious, but we've got to do what's right for him for the bigger picture.
We've got about 30 seconds. If I don't ask about Liam Stocker, someone's going to come in here and grab me. So how's he tracking?
Yeah, look, Liam's had a really good preseason. He played in our... He got some minutes in our scratch game against Essendon last week. He's very strong in the contest. His stoppage craft, the work he does around the stoppages is quite good. And he's got a little nasty edge to him. He likes to tackle. He likes to hit bodies. And it's something that we really value as a tough inside mid.
One word. Will the new man on the mark rule, will that open up the game and lead to more scoring?
Yes.
Thank you.
Tiggy, good luck. It's an interesting time. We're out there in the real, semi-real stuff tomorrow night. We can't wait to see the Blues take on the Saints. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Not a problem at all, guys.
Thanks, Tiggy. Tying time to be a Blue Bagger. Club smashing all-time membership record. You can become a member for as little as $65. 1-300-227-586. Head to carltonfc.com.au. Luke Beveridge type of music, I reckon he'd like this. It is Western Bulldogs membership day today. You can get a 6-game bronze Western Bulldogs membership for the price of 3 here at SEN. It's westernbulldogs.com.au/SEN. We've got the president, Kylie Watson-Wheeler. She's going to be on with Jared. We've got Aaron Norton on with Dwayno. Josh Dunkley's going to be on Drive. Ali Blackburn's on Time On. And we've been lucky enough to land the coach, Luke Beveridge. He's been good enough to join us. Lukey, welcome.
Morning, Jez. Morning, Tim.
Where do you sit in that hierarchy of president, star, player, captain? Where does a coach fit these days?
Oh, sometimes the real low, shallow end of the pool, I think, if you've had a loss. And if you're riding a winning streak, maybe somewhere a bit closer to the top.
How does it feel this year? On the back of what happened last year and you know the whole competition went through and the uncertainty and the changes that we all had to endure and clubs in, does this feel like it's gone back to some sort of normality for you as a coach?
Yeah, a little bit. I think we're dealing with dramatic change in the competition. The 75 interchange probably hasn't been emphasised as much as it probably should be. It's going to really change the game. It's probably some of the reason, it's a big reason why some of the coaches are declaring players unavailable for the start of the year, because ultimately, you know, we're going to accentuates the challenge there is that the game's going out to, you know, over 120 minutes again. So there's some change there in the new rules and the reduced list sizes, the reduced amount of staff. So there's quite dramatic change. I think the other day I said, you know, it's putting pressure on people, more professionals who, you know, have got other options like doctors and physios and sports scientists. You know, they've got choices. So keeping them in our little niche industry is a challenge.
How do you reckon that's going to affect the game, Luke? Is it something we're going to see in the short term, or is it something that you feel if we don't get back to that sort of spending, we're going to see elements of our game deteriorate over a period of time?
Well, I think change management is a really important discipline from a leadership point of view, and there's just been significant change, quite dramatic change, and I think whether there's a tipping point there and people flip the bales because they want some certainty and consistency, I don't know, but I know we've been able to remain reasonably static with our staff over a period of time. We had to make some incredibly hard choices with Joel Corey and Jordan Russell moving on last year, who just made an enormous contribution from a coaching point of view. And thankfully, they've got jobs at other clubs. So there's been a lot of heartache and heartbreak there. I think ultimately, hopefully the players, they're in a different sort of realm, and they'll always aspire for longevity, I think. And I think that's what the girls have done to our game too. You know, they've breathed new life into the code let's be honest, you know, in the regions, in the states, in the districts, and they've really helped the game get off the ground again. And it's brilliant seeing our girls, you know, our Western Bulldogs girls play so well. And, you know, I've really enjoyed watching the girls' footy to this point in time.
Hey, Luke, you recruited a young kid by the name of Jamara Hugel-Hagen, and you've already spoken about how the rigours of senior football at this stage have probably, or he's been affected by the fact that he didn't play a lot of footy last year as well. How far behind the ball do you think that has put some of those under-18 kids that are stepping into AFL footy this year?
Yeah, I think it's going to be the unique athletes like the Bailey Smiths and some of the other boys who were drafted high, who are midfielders at other clubs, who might start their career, you know, immediately. The lads who come in and, you know, coming off the junior programs where they haven't had proper pre-season, it's going to take them some time. And what exacerbates that, as I mentioned, is the reduction in interchange and the longer games. If, you know, we're not in a position to, develop and finish at the lower end of the ladder to bring, you know, young players on just for the sake of it, we want to win games. And so Jamara will play when he's physically ready, and he's a fair way off at the moment.
So, with this, your comments on the interchange and going back to the longer season, does that impact how you deal with Adam Treloar, given that he's had a little bit of a history and his last couple of weeks have been interrupted?
Because he's seasoned and he's got a reasonable engine, Adam, he probably sets himself up as, you know, one of those case-by-case considerations. He'd had a really strong training patch, and then he got a cork in his calf and kept running on it, and then it turned into something a little bit worse. We'll give him a little bit of time. At the moment, he may play some minutes on Monday, but it won't be in the senior team that plays against Melbourne. That will be against Casey here at the Witten Oval in the early game, if he plays at all. We still need to clear that up. And then we've got, I think, about 12 days until round one, and we'll just see how that shapes up.
With Luke Beveridge, the coach of the Dogs. So, Lukey, for those that aren't involved intimately at AFL level and they're in their own workplaces, and the whole Josh Dunkley situation, we're not going to rehash it, but can you just talk to the how he is reintegrated? Well, not that, well, he did. He wanted out, but then it didn't occur, so he remains at the club. Now, there'd be people in other industries saying, how does that work? How can someone that is not fully in, who wanted out, you know, so demonstrably, how does he re-embrace into the group, and what's your role as a coach in establishing that?
Yeah, I've been on record to say that Dunks and I have been really close, you know, away from the club as much as that coach-player relationship. And we have moved on, and I have mentioned that whatever the reasons were and the weight of the influence doesn't really matter anymore. He has applied himself. He's trained, extremely hard with the rest of the boys, and, you know, he's playing some... He's not at his best at the moment as far as his production on the ground. He didn't play his best game against Hawthorn, so he's fully aware that there's pressure for game time in any role in our team, and that's what you do. I mean, every year you endeavour to bolster your list, ensure it's healthy, create new levels of competitiveness, and that's what we've been able to do, bringing Adam in and keeping Josh. And so, yeah, there's still pressure on for his spot and the role that he plays, and he understands that. And he'll be treated, the same as every other player. But his teammates adore him. He's always had close connections, as much as it was a bit of a head-scratcher. We're in a good place with it.
Steph Martin, you've recruited him to the club, obviously a mature-age ruckman. Tim English, you've got there, a young, developing ruckman. Are you still sort of trying to work out exactly how you're going to use those two in terms of ruck play, forward type play? Is that still a work in progress?
Yeah, we've got a vision of it, Tim, that and what we want to achieve there. But yeah, it'll be a work in progress. I'd say it'll last a full year, and hopefully we get some dividends from that combination. Steph's not a, you know, when we come up, we got Max Gawn. I'd imagine he'd play next week, and then we got Brodie Grundy round one. And Max didn't play against us last year. Braden Pruce played against us. And that was... See, I think the thing that everyone needs to understand, it wasn't just Josh. It was Marcus Bonampelli and Jack McRae who were playing in the ruck as well. We had three inside midfielders sharing time with Tim, with Josh Bruce. So it wasn't just Josh. And it won us games. It really helped us because it was a position that we were compromised in. And there's no doubt that Max is going to get his hand on it next week. And but what Steph brings us is some real vigour around the footy. He's a big ruck rover type. We'll get into play to his strengths, and it means that we'll be able to play Tim forward a little bit more, and hopefully he can add a little bit more chemistry to the Aaron Norton, Josh Bruce, and our small to mediums down there.
Are you saying there that you still will experiment, or you'll still place those mid-sized or those medium-sized midfielders in the ruck at different times, depending on what suits you as a setup and a lineup?
Possibly. I mean, it could be 5 minutes a quarter. It depends. I mean, it gets back to what I was saying about managing game time, and you know, if Tim and Stefan and others are flagging, and you want your, you know, endurance and speed beasts out on the ground for a bit longer, then, you know, you might have to give up some hit outs and sort of risk manage that a little bit with a mode you may be in. So we'll do different things to try and get an edge. And but, you know, every coach would just love to, for every player, just to totally own their role, and you sit back and just let them play it. And that's the way it goes. But the competition's too fierce. And we're coming up against the best, and we know that at times we're going to have our challenges. So we'll bend and sway. And as you said, Tim, a bit earlier, we'll pivot, you know, at different times.
Luke, what did you think when the AFL said, listen, we're introducing a rule that says the bloke on the mark can't move? And now that you've got used to that idea, what do you think of it now?
Well, initially I said, well, let the umpires go out to all the other clubs so they can troubleshoot and answer all the questions and try and provide some answers, and then they can come to us and hopefully they've learned how to umpire. I think essentially it's the umpires need to rub their tummy and pat their head at the same time with this rule. It's like a gunfight on the streets of Tombstone, where it's whoever flinches first, really.
In what way, though? From the outside, isn't it simple? There's the mark. Stand there. Don't move.
Yeah, but the thing is, the umpire has to keep his eye on the player with the ball and the guy on the mark, but it's too hard to do that. So whoever moves first, it's either play on if the guy with the ball moves first, or it's a 50-metre penalty if the guy on the mark moves first. So my feedback has been, well, it's not about the ones they've paid. It's the 15 to 20 in the game that they didn't pay when they were there, whether it's play on or whether it's a 50 metre. So you can't actually umpire the rule to the letter that they're trying to umpire it. So they'll have to bend and let the guy on the mark move a little bit. Otherwise, it's not going to work. So if they don't do that, the grandstands are going to fall down at the MCG when these 50-metre penalties are paid.
I listened to Damien Hardwick yesterday. He thinks there could be better utilisation in the game of the umpires, and he is an advocate for the 9 umpires on the ground at any one time to be able to make decisions. Would you support that?
No.
What do you think that would lead to?
I think one of the hardest things for the 3 field umpires is understanding who's making the decision. You know, and if you've got a boundary umpire, a goal umpire in the same vicinity and a field umpire, you could get 3 blokes making a decision and 3 different decisions at the same time. So I just can't see that working.
We had the great Doug Hawkins on the other day, and he would want us to ask this. He thinks Aaron Norton will be the best centre-half back in the competition if he played there. Where do you think he's best suited, and where will you play him?
He could be. Hawk is absolutely right. I think, you know, if we played Aaron Norton as a key defender, he'd be an All-Australian player. And this is the quality of the young man. He knows that he could also be the Coleman medalist. He could be the best key forward in the game. And he's willing to pick up that challenge. We've seen the signs. He's only, what is he now? I can't remember if he's 21 or 22 yet. But he's just done his first pre-season. So there's another thing. He hasn't been able to do a pre-season yet. And the signs have been very, very good. He got a little hip pointer the other week, so he couldn't play against Hawthorn. I'm thankful that he misses some of these games just so he gets through another week to start the season. But he's going to be a really influential and powerful forward for us. And we've got Ryan Gardner and Alex Keith and some of these other boys in our back end. Haven't played a lot of AFL footy yet. We just need to be a little bit patient with those guys, but they'll really come on again this year.
Hey, it's exciting times. Dog supporters, we can see all the messaging coming through. They're excited. And it is the membership day here. Jump on board. It's a great time to jump on board the Doggies. And we appreciate you jumping on. And good luck for the year ahead.
Yeah, thanks, Gaz. Thanks, Tim. And look, can I just say to all our fans and supporters, thank you very much for your unconditional support. We're always grateful. And the Doggies supporters, we like to think our own supporters are very unique in that they're always willing to support us, win, lose or draw, and we love them to death, and we can't wait to see them at our games.
It's a great message, and they love your team, they love your coaching. So good on you, Bevo. We appreciate it. Luke Beveridge.